Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio, for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, Russ, K5TUX, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello everybody and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 541 of the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This is Linux in the Ham Shack, and this is our short topics episode. We're glad you're here with us, whether you're listening tonight or ex post facto and enjoying this while you're also enjoying some windshield time or mowing your lawn or wherever it is you listen to podcasts. But we're going to go ahead and get into some short topics. But before we do that, we will introduce ourselves for the on assignment Cheryl, W5MOO. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
All right. So, yeah, I guess we just need to jump right in. I'm not lubed tonight, as it were. But we'll still try and make it fun anyway. Let's get into some amateur radio topics. And Bill is going to tell us about some changes up in my neck of the woods, or my former, I guess, neck of the woods with the New England QSO party.
Yeah, that's right. The New England QSO party had some rule changes that impact some logging applications. And the big change is that the county abbreviations went from county state to state county. This aligns the NEQP with the other state QSO parties running that weekend. Let's say for sure the 7QP and the Indiana QSO party. And so, yeah, this will bring it into alignment. N1MM has already updated their contest module. They have a group contest module called the IN7QNE, which covers all three contests, so you can log all three contests at the same time. And I will play around with my microphone to make it louder. it's good that it's been updated. I haven't checked to see if not 1MM got updated, because that's going to be quite useful for us that use the not 1MM version for contest logging.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you actually sound fine to me.
Okay.
Not sure why you're low to everyone else, but...
I didn't change anything, so hopefully everything is working.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe I'm just too loud. I don't know. I try not to be too loud.
We all get leveled in post, so it's fine.
That's true. We are auto-leveled. So, all right. New England QSO party. When was there a date mentioned there? Did I miss it?
It's in early May, so it'll be like the first weekend in May.
All right. We have to get involved in the New England QSO party and probably bug Mike about not 1MM.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like built for personal use, and if you want to use it, you're on your own. So, all right. Well, with that, we can move on to another amateur radio topic, and that is that the GNU Radio Conference, or GRCON, not GORCON, but GRCON, has a call for presenters, and it's open. The GNU Radio Conference, GRCON, is the annual conference for the GNU Radio Project and community, and has established itself as one of the premier industry events for software radio. It is a week-long conference that includes high-quality technical content and valuable networking opportunities. It's a venue that highlights design, implementation, and theory that has been practically applied in a useful way. GRCON attendees come from a large variety of backgrounds, including industry, academia, government, and hobbyists. Offering an annual program with broad appeal, GRCON attracts a variety of participants, people new to software radio who are interested in learning more, seasoned developers ready to show off their latest work, and experts who want to keep their finger on the pulse and the direction of the industry. GRCON 2024 celebrates and showcases the substantial and remarkable progress of GNU Radio and its usage in a diverse field of applications and industries. They invite developers and users from across the GNU Radio community to present their projects, presentations, papers, posters, and problems at GNU Radio Conference 2024. Submit your talks, demos, and code. The deadline for submissions is June the 17th, so you do have some time. And the conference itself is in September, so you've also got some time if it's a thing you want to go to. And if I remember what I read earlier, it's in Knoxville. So
Knoxville.
Knoxville. Knoxville, Tennessee is where it's at. So, all right, there you go. Get your talks in for GNU Radio Conference. That's it. That's it. What are you waiting for? Read the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're on to open source now. Yeah, there's so much amateur radio news to deliver. So, yeah, we're on to open source. And the first topic is that Ubuntu 24.04 has the beta released. Ubuntu 24.04 uses the Linux kernel 6.8, the latest version at the time of release. This offers a ton of improvements and enablements, but a few notable things. Intel Meteor Lake CPUs now hit their advertised boost speeds. Nintendo Switch Online controller support, RFI mitigations to remedy Wi-Fi issues on some AMD laptops, and Z-Swap buffs. The network stack has been updated to NetPlan 1.0, enabling support for simultaneous WPA2 and WPA3 connections. Mellanox VF lag, improving VXLAN, and providing a stable LibNetPlan 1 API, if that means anything to you. Ubuntu 24.04 changes at a glance. They have some desktop installer updates, GNOME 46 with updated apps, power efficiency improvements, big gaming boost, Linux kernel 6.8.11, Mesa version 24.0.3, NetPlan 1.0, performance tooling is now pre-installed, a GNOME games package has been removed from the full install, and GNOME snapshot replaces cheese in the full install. Thunderbird email client is now a snap package. Full install. A few things to be aware of when upgrading from any version. You still can't install deb packages using the App Center. So there's a bad sign for you. The Thunderbird deb is now a transitional package, which installs the snap. The new Flutter-based desktop security center tool is in testing earlier in this development cycle, isn't present. Not a surprise. There's been little development in recent weeks. And this came to us from OMG Ubuntu. And we also included the links to Noble Numbat in the show notes. It'll be the same link to the repo for all the ISOs when it's fully released. So you'll see any changes, whether it's been released by the time this gets out or it's still in beta.
All right, very good. And we are working on our version of 24.04. So have you started to build yet on the Zubuntu train?
I have not, because all they had is 23.10. I haven't seen any betas out for that yet.
Yeah, I was using the nightly for mine. So, yeah, I probably have to wait a few days for something more substantial before I go further. But we'll get there, I'm sure. As somebody pointed out earlier, it's only a month till Hamvention. Unbelievable. Or I should say, I guess, inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
All right. So moving on with some open source topics, we have Linux Foo getting started with systemd. Boy, if you're just getting started with systemd now, not sure where you've been all this time. This article by Al Williams introduces systemd, a system and service manager for Linux. Systemd is a crucial component of modern Linux systems, unless you're a systemd Luddite and you're still using sysv. Managing the system services and processes during boot up and runtime, understanding systemd can help users troubleshoot issues, optimize system performance, and manage services more effectively. This knowledge is especially beneficial for Linux administrators and power users, as it allows them to control and monitor system processes with precision and efficiency. It covers the basics of systemd, including its role in boot up, managing services, and controlling system state. It also discusses common commands like system control, journal control, and systemd-analyze. The article emphasizes understanding systemd structure and logic for efficient Linux systems management. As well, the article provides links to generators for systemd files and plenty of documentation sources. Can you tell AI did this summary? It's horrible. Thanks for putting in the footnote to tell us that ChatGPT is telling us what to think.
So, yeah, it was actually the whatever the engine art, that sits on top Genesis? Of no on DuckDuckGo.
Oh, DuckDuckGo.
So yeah, it was pretty horrible. So it's a patch job on that particular article. But yeah, I found the article pretty interesting because of the links for building your own custom files and stuff like that. The generators, pretty useful information if you're just trying to do your own systemd files and not very familiar with creating those. It does provide a great resource for that.
Yeah, I think I might actually check this out too, because it's not always clear in some of the stanzas what things are meant for. And like you can also create dependencies inside the stanzas for, like, you know, you need like network access for a service to run, or something has to start first, or, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of you know, power and flexibility in systemd, but of course with that comes a touch of complexity. So yeah, this might be good for me to look over as well, even though I feel like I sort of understand how systemd works after, you know, slogging through it all this time. But yeah, by the time I learn it, we'll be on to something else. So
yeah, absolutely. And the last article that we have in the open source area is an article I found over on I don't know what you would call it, Analytics Vidya. So there you go. It's a weird analytics for data scientists and stuff like that. But they had an article on 10 GPT-4 open source alternatives, which I found interesting. And Pangaj Singh writes in this blog article, while OpenAI's GPT-4 has made waves as a powerful language model or large language model, its closed source nature and usage limitations have left many developers seeking open source alternatives. Fortunately, natural language processing, NLP, or LLP, has seen a surge in powerful open source models that match or exceed GPT-4's capabilities in certain areas. Further in this article, we will give you 10 promising GPT-4 open source alternatives worth exploring. And the 10 items that they list here is GPT-4All, which is an ambitious open source initiative to develop a powerful language model comparable to GPT-4, but without the restrictions of the proprietary models. Led by a team of researchers and developers, GPT-4All leverages publicly available data sets and crowdsourced compute power to train a large-scale transformer model. OPT, which is Open Pre-trained Transformer, is a suite of open source large casual language models. Casual, interesting. Developed by Meta AI, ranging from 125 meg to 175 billion parameters. OpenNMT is an open source toolkit for neural machine translation, or NMT. NMT, developed by researchers at Harvard University and others. It aims to democratize machine translation by providing flexible and extensible platforms. OpenNMT supports various model architectures, including RNNs, transformers, and hybrid models. Koala is an open source chatbot developed by leveraging the powerful Llama language model from Meta AI. Open Assistant is an open source project aiming to democratize access to top-tier chat-based large language models. Alpaca Laura is a compact language model that combines the Stanford Alpaca instruction following model with a low-ranked adaption techniques, or LoRA. Vicuna 1.3 is a powerful 33 billion parameter language model released by Anthropic and the University of California, Berkeley. It was fine-tuned from the Llama model using 125,000 conversations from ShareGPT.com, focusing on instruction following abilities. DALL-E is a powerful open-source language model developed by Databricks, a leading data and AI company. Bayes is an open-source multi-turn dialogue model demonstrating impressive conversational abilities while mitigating potential risks through carefully designed guardrails. And finally, MPT-30B Chat does Mosaic ML release a powerful open-source language model as part of their foundation series. And the website itself, the Analytics Vidya, is kind of... semi, it's not really a paywall, but it will throw up a nag window for logging in via Google or something stupid like that. So I did link the article source here, but I thought it was interesting enough to at least expose some of those GPT-04 alternatives that are in open source that are available out there. And I only heard about probably four in that list that I've actually heard about before. So I at least found that list a little bit interesting.
Yes, I find that list interesting as well. I'm going to have to check out what some of these things do, because they're all, you know, AI and ML based, but it looks like they all have certain strengths that they play to, and it might be interesting to see what each one does. So, yeah, I'm going to check those out. Some of them have really weird names. MPT-30BChat. Yeah. And Bayes. I wonder if that's like a rip on like Bayesian or something like that, as opposed, you know, as related to ML.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe. Yeah.
Something. Who knows? People are working on all kinds of crazy stuff. So, all right. Well, with that, we have one topic to discuss in Linux in the Ham Shack tonight, although I suppose the GNU Radio thing probably could have been in this area as well. But we did see, or I did see, that there's a new release of FreeDV that came out yesterday. And then in looking at that, I saw there had been another fairly substantial release back in early February. So I figured we would outline the features that have been included in these two latest releases of FreeDV, since we haven't really talked about FreeDV all that much lately. I think we remember mentioning it casually a couple episodes ago, but sort of deciding that we probably should talk about FreeDV at some point in the future. So version 1.98 had several bug fixes. I'm not going to outline the bug fixes. This is all in the freedv.org website and the news, and even in the GitHub repo if you look at the change logs. But I did want to outline what Dave put in here for the feature enhancements. In 1.98, there is a frequency column added to the RX dropdown, an updated tooltip for the freeform text field to indicate that it's not covered by FEC, enabling the use of the space bar for a PTT when in the FreeDV report or window. And we probably need to talk with Dave again about FreeDV so we can sort of remember what all this stuff is. Also, there was a move the TX mode column to the left of the status in FreeDV reporter window, adding a heading to the column of FreeDV reporter, preventing FreeDV reporter window from being above the main window, and supporting displaying the cardinal directions instead of headings. And in the latest release, 1.99 and 1.99.1, which came out like right after each other because 1.99 had a bug, they have added an additional error reporting for the port audio failures, if there are any, allowing longer length user messages. And you were talking about the expanded symbols, right?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I was wondering if and when we would see a new protocol that utilizes a larger symbol rate. But I don't think any of this actually addresses that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at pull request 694, which is what is cited here for that particular feature. Which also references adding a context menu for copying messages to the clipboard, and finally adding an ability to build without LPCNet in preparation for the potential future deprecation of said LPCNet. So lots of stuff has been going on in the FreeDV world. There is some activity on FreeDV, but again, as I've said in the past, it doesn't seem to be that much. But there is a QSO finder if you want to try out FreeDV and check it out for yourself and see what it's all about. The website freedv.org is really helpful. And then I think it's qso.freedv.org, which helps you locate people who are actually using the protocol at the time. So if you want to find people to try and talk to using FreeDV, that's where you'd go. And of course, that information will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and the last time that we talked about FreeDV was back on episode 502, and we spoke with Munir, or 501. 501 was the episode number, and we spoke with Munir about it.
Yeah, that's right. And but I mean, 40 episodes ago, that's a long time.
That's a year. It's March 2023.
Yep. Yeah, so things like M17 and FreeDV and stuff like that, I think, are all up for a revisit. So we'll see about getting that on the table for future episodes. And with that, we have come down to the end of our topic, sadly, for tonight. And I don't have any announcements or feedback, So I guess that means that Bill gets to run us out with the social media stuff.
Yeah, we have this particular episode, we have no new subscribers or Patreons, but we do have some people that joined us on Facebook. We have Scott Shellhart, Brian Holub, and 11 others, ... On Twitter X, we had at Fredrickson_CA. No one joined us on Instagram. Over on Mastodon, we had at AJJISON. On YouTube, we had Michael Edwards. On Discord, we had Leaf J, SA0LEF. We had Bowl Cut JD and Andrea, or Andre, maybe. No one on the mailing list joined us. And on the live chat, we had Ted, WA0EIR, Tom, N4HHI, or
hi.
On Steve, we had Steve KJ5T, Darren VK6EK, and Tony K4XSS.
All right, very good. And Tom N4HAI, or hey, in the chat is asking about Hamvention. Like, what about Hamvention? I mean, we beat it to the death for the last 3 months. what else would you like to hear about Dayton at this point, other than the fact that you should be there because it's 4 weeks away, and we're looking forward to it for sure.
And we'll be in our usual spot in Building 5, the Hertz Building, if it's still named that.
Yep, it's been booth 5004, which if you come in the front door, you know, the door from like the central courtyard area will be on your right and will be next to the side door going out into the alleyway or whatever. So yeah, I'll be there. Turn left, right. Well, good. We'll see you, Tom, for sure. We will all be there and we're looking forward to it. And with that, I guess, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, this has been a relatively short episode, but, you know, times are hard. It's hard to ferret out all the Linux information and ham radio information because it just doesn't seem like there's a lot going on right now, but I'm sure that will improve as Hamvention approaches. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here and let you get back to the rest of your day. And in the meantime, we hope you have a great week and will join us for our Weekender edition, which comes up next. So with that, let's get on out of here. This has been episode number 541 of Linux in the Ham Shack. And once again, for the on assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.